Is this the Owens residence?
Uh-huh.
And I take it you're one of them?
Uh-huh.
Is there someone here who speaks English?
Can I help you?
Good afternoon. I'm Mr. Belvedere. Are you Mrs. Owens?
Uh-huh.
And the family consists of you, one husband and three children?
Yes.
Nothing in the oven?
What?
Well, that should suit me just fine.
What?
Congratulations, Mrs. Owens. I'm your new housekeeper.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before. Who cares when you dropkicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glares, but sometimes things get turned around and no one spared. All hands look out below. There's a change in the status quo. Gonna need all the help that we can get. According to our new arrival, life is more than mere survival. We just might live the good life yet.
Hello and welcome to Gayest Episode Ever, the podcast that looks at the LGBT-themed episodes of classic sitcoms, which is to say the very special episodes that also happen to be very queer episodes. I'm Drew Mackey.
I'm Glenn Lakin.
Hi, Glenn.
Ah.
I think you mean...
Glenn Lakin?
No, big shot Hollywood screenwriter Glenn Lakin.
No.
We'll get to that one in a little bit. If that intro did not tip you off, today we're actually talking about Mr. Belvedere. Oh, oh. No reaction? You don't? Okay, no, that's fine.
I was singing the theme in my head.
I've been like all fucking day.
Straight over China. Never met her before. Who cares?
Keep going, Glenn.
No, I can't sing.
Okay. This is going to be one of those shorter episodes like we did with the Dick Van Dyke episode, where we're going to talk about a show that doesn't really ever do a specific gay episode, but there's something gay there, and there's actually a lot gay here to talk about, which might be surprising if you've never thought about Mr. Belvedere in this context, but we're going to jump right into it.
But would that be surprising? Like, I feel like just in the abstract, Mr. Belvedere feels pretty gay.
I'm sure there's a lot of straight people who never occurred to them that there was like a queer tinge to the show, much less some other like kind of more explicit gay stuff or this weird gay connections you wouldn't expect. And then in the back half, we're going to do a little bit of housekeeping. But first, Mr. Belvedere. Glenn, what is your relationship with Mr. Belvedere, the show, not the person?
What if it's both? The show is one of those daytime syndicated sitcoms that was on after school. I don't know if I ever watched it as it was originally broadcast, always sort of weekday intervals. It was a comfort show. I enjoyed it. I found all of the kids very annoying. But in hindsight, Kevin was kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt bad for the mom always.
Yeah, she seems very put upon and like very nice. And she just seems like she deserves a better family.
I don't know why she needs a housekeeper.
She has a job, right? She's a... I don't remember what she does. That was not part of my research for this episode. Mr. Belvedere, in case you don't know, is something probably most of us experienced in weekday syndicated form. I know I watched the final episode in primetime, and also they burned that final episode off in like July. So they didn't love this show at the end, but it ran for 6 seasons, which is kind of crazy to think about. Especially because it never broke into the top 30 any of those seasons.
What?
So it never was enough of a hit to be like up there. But this is mid-80s. So the number of people watching a not very popular show were still enough to get advertisers. So it made it for 6 seasons on ABC. ABC.
That sounds right.
It ran from March 15th, 1985 to July 8th, 1990. I starred Christopher Hewitt as Lynn Aloysius Belvedere, a British butler hired to restore order to the household of the Owens family of Pittsburgh, Detroit. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's
his name cities. Minneapolis.
Yeah. Christopher Hewitt. I think the two other things people would ever know him for is number one, playing Roger Debris in The Producers.
Roger? Ah, Mrs. Bialystock and Bloom, I presume. Forgive the pun.
What pun?
Shut up, he thinks he's witty.
Didn't I meet you on a summer cruise?
I've never been on a summer cruise.
Huh. Quel dommage.
This is where it seemed like, oh, like I didn't remember that he was in that movie.
You have a type now.
Like Eddie Izzard types, like make it be, yeah, that's it. And then he also played King Koopa in the Mario Ice Capade special that aired on ABC.
Oh my God.
Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
I'll put a link to it on the show notes, but I would review this TV special as misguided and confusing.
It's accurate. I'm a room.
Oh, what to do, what to do? The Koopa virus is on the loose, and you know how painful that can be. Oh, oh, I think this is a job for plumbers. Better give a call to the Super Mario Brothers.
Oh. Poor Christopher Hewitt. He probably deserved better than that. It also starred Bob Uecker, real-life sportscaster playing a sportscaster dad, Eileen Graff as the mom. You know her from Ladybugs, the teenage cross-dressing comedy with Rodney Dangerfield.
Jonathan Brandis.
Yeah, very attractive Jonathan Brandis, made to look like a girl.
Mm-hmm. Very confusing movie.
Yeah, that would be an interesting, if we ever do like weird movies to go back and review, like that would be definitely in the sweet spot of like our pop culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but Eileen Graff's break from being on Mr. Belvedere is having to be a love interest for Rodney Dangerfield. I was like, lady, I'm sorry.
I mean, Rodney Dangerfield got some great love interests. What's her name from Back to School? She's severe and blonde and amazing.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I was thinking of Summer School and you threw me for a second. Oh, Back to School. I'm going to use the Oingo Boingo end credits song from that movie for our outro track because I couldn't figure out what to play. You just picked it for me. And then as the three Owens children, Rob Stone, Bryce Beckham, and Tracy Wells. Glenn, have you ever seen the sequel to Mirror, Mirror?
No.
There's a sequel to Mirror, Mirror called Mirror, Mirror 2, Ravendance, and it stars Tracy Wells, who played Heather. She's the main character in a horror movie. And it also stars Veronica Cartwright and Roddy McDowall and is the film debut of Mark Ruffalo.
What?
I know. So I kind of feel like I might want to actually watch this movie while drunk because I imagine it's not very good. But also, yeah, Tracy Wells, screen queen. Who knew? If I'm going to ask you what you think is gay about Mr. Belvedere, what would you say?
The concept of a refined, sexless man helping a straight family not be monsters.
I would agree with you. But it kind of hits that weird spot where there's a lot of fussy, particular mannerisms that you would associate with a gay man that kind of turn invisible when that character becomes British, because there's a lot of queerness that we just write off. Like, oh, that's like their own weird culture over there, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they're gay.
You know, George, I don't think that football is quite Wesley's cup of tea.
Oh, yeah? Well, maybe we should introduce him to one of your English sports, like croquet or minding other people's business.
I'm sorry, I was only thinking of the boy.
Hey, Wes is going to be fine. I just got to work with him a little, toss the ball around, maybe run a few plays, maybe even set up a tackling dummy. Speaking of which, you busy later?
Which I think is probably how a lot of people got to not have to think about how, like, what a little fuss budget Mr. Belvedere is.
Yeah. Do you think Rupert Everett broke people's brains? He's British and gay?
In that way, it kind of makes me wonder what a British person would think of Mr. Belvedere if, like, they're already British, to be like, oh, this, like, gay man's helping these slovenly Americans on this mediocre sitcom. Yeah. Aside from that basic premise and the fact that he's very queenie.
Miss?
Yes, please. Everything looks so delicious. Don't spill.
Young lady, I wouldn't think of spoiling such a lovely party dress.
Don't patronize me, Hazel.
Is this flammable?
He's sassy and he like throws shade before we knew what that was, especially towards Mr. Owens. And
yeah, his foil is a straight sportscaster. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, a little bratty boy.
Mm-hmm. He's also kind of like a mother hen character for everyone. And much in the way that straight people often unload their problems on their gay associates in real life, he solves all their problems and rarely gets to take care of that much for himself. He gets his own episode sometimes.
Yeah, he had to have a heart attack.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that one. That was probably very scary for me at like 6 years old watching on a Wednesday afternoon. Aside from that, there's also Christopher Hewitt himself. What are your feelings about talking about the sexuality of a deceased person.
Oh, you mean whether it's okay to out them when they're dead, when they weren't out in life?
Not even really out them, but just like speculate on the fact that like, oh, he may have been a gay person. We don't really know.
Oh, I mean, I don't know. I talk shit about the dead all the time.
Which is weird because you're the one who believes in ghosts.
Yeah, well.
So he has in fact passed away. Never married. Was an actor his entire life. Confirmed bachelor. I can't find anything that says he was necessarily gay. Like probably the gayest thing about him is playing Roger Debris in The Producers. But there's just no information about his sexuality everywhere. All I really know about him is that he was a devout Roman Catholic, which actually kind of maybe says a lot. So I don't know if he was actually gay. Maybe he was. Please don't haunt me, ghost of Christopher Hewitt.
Gay ghost of Christopher Hewitt.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God, I would write and read that book. Please don't haunt me, gay ghost of Christopher Hewitt. It'd be like Wait Till Helen Comes, but for boys.
Wait Till Helen Comes?
Yeah.
What is that?
Oh, it's not quite YA novel, younger targeted than that, and it's about a girl who moves with her step family to like barn or haunted house or something.
They move
and
to a barn?
Barn, or like converted barn, like okay. Converted church or something, I don't know. And she befriends a ghost of a girl who drowned or died in a fire or something. She drowned, and then the main character has guilt because her mom died in a fire looking for her because she was hiding while the fire was happening.
Oh, I like that. That sounds really good. I might cut this if we think it's actually a really good idea, but what if the ghost of Christopher Hewitt ends up living with a family with a young man who's coming to terms with his homosexuality?
Sure. Yeah. It's like, again, there was, what's that? God, fuck, what's the name of that show?
Jennifer Slept Here?
Yes. I was thinking of Jennifer Slept Here starring the woman. Oh, it's not starring the woman from Back to School. But no, yeah, I was thinking of Jennifer Slept Here.
Jennifer Slept Here is like, okay, tangent, is one of the weirdest things. I didn't know about it until you told me about it because one of your friends is like obsessed with it. It is a sitcom about a family that moves into a new apartment and there's the ghost of a dead actress who died chasing an ice cream truck or something. She got hit by an ice cream truck and now her ghost is just there and she helps solve their problems. And it has a very strange theme song.
Hello.
Saw the most beautiful ghost in the world, and she slept here. I just saw the most outrageous kind of a girl, and she lives here. Jennifer, what you doing to me? In and out of my life you appear. They say the stars don't shine as bright since you left here. And Jennifer slept here. She lived here. She loved here. Slept here, and she never really left here. Jennifer slept here.
The whole package, I'm like, this is the weirdest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
So my confusion came from the actress from Back to School was in a movie version, or a movie kind of like that, about a dead porn star who helps a virgin lose his virginity.
Do you know what that's called?
No. I mean, I could look it up on my phone like this second.
Let me look it up.
So you have to go to back to school.
Oh, she's also in Mirror Mirror 2 Ravendance.
Oh.
Yeah. Also, the last thing he ever did was that episode of Ned and Stacey,
yes,
which you should probably do one day, which we've mentioned several times. It keeps coming up, but there's a weird homophobic element to that episode, which I think is maybe an unfortunate coda on the end of his career, but he didn't know he was going to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the most interesting thing about Mr. Belvedere is that the character did not originate on this sitcom. Mr. Belvedere was originally born in a 1947 book called Belvedere and written by Gwynne Davenport, which is that's exactly the name of the person who...
Oh, he's drunk.
Yes. I assumed it was a woman. Maybe it's not.
I assumed it was a woman too. Why can't women be drunk?
Oh, they said he's always drunk.
No, I just said always drunk.
Women can be drunk too. You can be anything you want. You can be drunk. You can be a drug addict. You can be all the things.
I mean, drunk, refined women are my favorite kind of drunks.
That's our like target demographic, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It had a very similar concept of a proper British butler going to work for an American family. And I think the pilot has the joke where they hire Lynn Belvedere because they assume based on that name that Lynn is a woman, right?
I don't remember.
I did not bother to rewatch the pilot. That is the gist of the book where he shows up and they're like, oh, Lynn Belvedere, we thought you were going to be a woman. Right off the bat, there's a little bit of like gender play going on right there. The movie spawned a 1948 film adaptation titled Sitting Pretty, starring Robert Young, Maureen O'Hara, and as the Belvedere character, Clifton Webb.
Keep your seats, please, and kindly refrain from rustling your popcorn bags while I say a few words about a comedy which has recently been produced by the 20th Century Fox Studios. It is titled Sitting Pretty. My submerged vanity will not allow me to say that Sitting Pretty is a good picture. It is not a good picture, it is a great picture. The critics insist that my presence in the cast as a baby-hating babysitter elevates this cinema epic from mediocrity to sublimity.
Do you know Clifton Webb much from your old movie trivia days?
No.
So he's probably best known for playing Waldo Leidecker in that Otto Preminger movie Laura, which was a like noir whodunit with Gene Tierney that's very Twin Peaksy. So Clifton Webb plays Waldo Leidecker on Twin Peaks, the parrot that's the witness to Laura's murder is named Waldo, and the veterinary clinic where they find him is Dr. Leidecker.
I love that you probably didn't have to like research that at all.
Oh, I've known this for quite a while. Also, the movie's all about a dead woman who has all these weird relationships with various men in her life, and her name is Laura. Which is Twin Peaks.
Wait, do you think Mr. Belvedere takes place in the Twin Peaks universe?
I do now.
Like, if they're both ABC.
Both ABC, they should have done a crossover. Clifton Webb himself is like a Niles Crane by way of Dr. Smith from Lost in Space. So just maybe a little bit more arch version of that like nebbishy, fastidious guy. And he's American, but for those qualities, he was very well suited to play this fussy Brit character. So there's another weird crossover of like British equals gay in like some part of the American mindset. He was nominated for an Academy Award for his role in Sitting Pretty, and he reprised it two more times. Mr. Belvedere Goes to College was co-stars Shirley Temple, and then Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell in 1951. There's this really weird promo shot. I think it's for Mr. Belvedere Goes to College, where I'll link in the show notes, but it's him seated on a couch and Marilyn Monroe is on one side and this like beautiful brunette is on the other. And it's just a publicity photo they took for the movie to be like, look, he's not gay. Look how straight this person is. He's sitting next to these two bombshells. I think it actually might have even been before anyone knew or cared who Marilyn Monroe was. She was just like studio model or something. Clifton Webb, also a confirmed bachelor. And in this case, we actually have testimony from Robert Wagner, who starred with him on, I think, two different things, where he said, Clifton Webb was gay, of course, but he never made a pass at me. Not that he would have.
What a statement.
There's a lot going on there. Yeah. And also, I like that like our best witness in the matter of this person's sexuality is Robert Wagner, who's never questioned his reliability. He always tells the truth, right?
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, it's,
yeah.
Yeah.
Murder joke.
See, I can have Christopher Walken attest that I was never hit on by Clifton Webb. So that thread ends there, but it was a popular enough franchise that three different times people tried to turn it into a TV series. Never made it past the pilot stage. The last of which, though, starred Victor Buono as, I know, as Mr. Belvedere. Victor Buono, if you don't know, is the larger man who stars in Whatever Happened to Baby Jane and himself a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was also, do you remember that weird horror movie I made you watch where he played the devil at the end?
Yes.
Yeah. That
wasn't good.
The Evil.
Yeah.
That's the name of it. The Evil. It's not a very good title. Yeah. Something you watch when you're like five, you think is terrifying, and then you show your adult roommate and he thinks it's stupid, and so do you.
I don't think it was stupid.
No,
I thought their version of hell was sort of interesting.
It's very stagey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other than the fact that Bryce Beckham, who played Wesley, was one of the child actors to speak out in that PSA against Kirk Cameron. Remember when Kirk Cameron came out against gay people and all these child actors like joined together to do a PSA to tell him to shut the fuck up?
Mm-hmm. That was one of the greatest moments of my life.
You know who else was in that PSA? Your cousin, Christine Lakin.
Not my cousin, but yes.
Yeah, I rewatched that. They made me very happy. Linked in the show notes. The other really good thing I can say about Mr. Belvedere and gay adjacent causes is that, unless I'm mistaken, it was the first, at least American sitcom, if not sitcom, anywhere to feature a character with AIDS, which is kind of nuts. Not really something you would necessarily expect from Mr. Belvedere.
Yeah.
They had special episodes, but we might actually do this whole episode at one point. But it's basically a Ryan White situation where everyone finds out that one of the students at Wesley's school has AIDS and everyone shuns him, and Wesley has to step up and do the right thing and tell people that's not okay. So then in 1985, the first...
It's like first season?
Second season.
Hmm.
So really early in the second season. I guess they were like, we're just going to go for it, which I give them like, I didn't watch the entire thing because I thought we might do it one day. But like, even if it's a clunker, the fact that they even tried to do it is sort of remarkable. It would have been the first TV show to ever have a character with AIDS ever. But St. Elsewhere had a storyline 2 days before where Mark Harmon's character finds out he has AIDS.
Oh.
And then 2 days later, Mr. Belvedere. So Way to go, Mr. Belvedere. There's this one part that I'll cut in, but like, I can't really say if they're landing this or not, but like, it's still a sitcom. They still make jokes. And the kid you meet, and the kid comes over.
Hi, Mr. Belvedere.
Hello, Danny.
Is Wesley here?
Yes, come on in. Everyone, you remember Wesley's friend, Danny?
Oh, hi, Danny. Hi, Mrs. Owens, Mr. Owens.
Hiya, champ. How's it going?
Well, I gotta eat, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
And I can't tell if that's okay or not. Like, it's either really tone deaf and inappropriate, or they're like, well, like, we're a sitcom. Like, we're not going to go full, like, maudlin on this thing. And we're going to show that this kid is not being emotionally destroyed by this thing that's happened to him.
Let's just do the episode.
We should have some people weigh in. I'm still going to cut it in just because I think it's, like, a laugh point. The other reason we should do is the B plot is Kevin taking a home ex class, which is a weird thing to do.
I remember that episode.
That's the same episode. Isn't that weird that they would link those two plot lines together? So on that somewhat downer note, we're going to stop for a very quick commercial break.
And we'll
be back with a story about testicles. Testicles. Hey, Glenn, what are you doing this Friday? Is what I would be saying if Glenn were here, but he's not, because as you're about to hear later this episode, he's gone full Hollywood now and he's off doing official movie magic stuff today. I wish him well. No, really, I wish him well. So as if I haven't been talking enough this episode, I, Drew, will solely tell you what's going on this week at A Love Bazaar, downtown LA's coolest dedicated space for queer art. Friday, September 14th, A Love Bazaar is holding the opening reception for this month's featured artist, Harvey Del Rey, a self-taught artist from Anaheim whose art I will describe as slick, sleek, airbrush-style representations of pop culture icons and contemporary drag queens alike. Would you like to see RuPaul as Princess Leia? He did that. Would you like to see Divine as Ursula the Sea Witch? He did that too. Would you like to see Bianca Del Rio as Hannibal Lecter? Yes, he also did that. And these and more are realized in bright, brilliant color that, if hanging in your living room, will immediately tell visitors, hey, I'm pretty darn gay. The show will be running through the end of June, but from 7 to 11 p.m. on Friday, you can meet Harvey and also get a drink because, as you may know, A Love Bazaar is located within Bar Franca at 438 South Main Street in downtown Los Angeles. You can check out all the cool stuff they're doing, but also see some of Harvey's work by checking out the store's official Instagram at A Love Bazaar Store, or click the link in the show notes. A Love Bazaar. Find yourself here. Doesn't that sound cool, Glenn?
Oh, I'm Glenn. I'm a grumpus.
See? Don't even need him anymore. And we're back.
Yay.
Let's talk testicles, Glenn.
Balls.
Yeah. I actually cannot say for sure that this is true, but the most credible source on it is Gilbert Gottfried, and he shared this on his show, where he said that he was working on the same set, or like the same lot where Mr. Belvedere was being shot, and he saw them taking Mr. Belvedere away in a stretcher, and he was like, oh, he probably had a heart attack, because, you know, like, big older guy would not be out of, like, the ordinary that he would suffer a heart attack. He had not. According to him and a few other sources, and I'm not saying it's true, but it's a very good story. He sat on his own testicles. He sat down and smushed his testicles and was in such pain that he had to go to the hospital and shut down filming on Mr. Belvedere.
All that laughter is Drew's.
Is that not funny? I think it's funny.
I feel like this entire episode was manufactured for you to tell that story.
This entire episode was manufactured so I could talk about Twin Peaks again. That's where you're wrong. And that is, I think, the last, until something I'm going to give at the end, it's the last bit of actual solid Mr. Belvedere-related information I had. But yes, to summarize, Mr. Belvedere is a gayer show than you would have thought.
Or it's as gay of a show as you would have thought.
Well, some people are maybe more perceptive than I was. Until I really looked into it, I didn't know. But for good reasons and bad reasons, gay enough. Gay enough to get a little mini episode. There's some business I want to get to where people point out things that we might have missed or slight corrections or clarifications. One of them, Timothy Burleson, pointed out on the Dick Van Dyke semen joke episode that I missed an opportunity to reference the Simpsons line from Smithers.
What do you think, Smithers?
I think women and semen don't mix.
We know what you think. Young lady, you're hired.
Classic sailor seaman joke. Speaking of which.
Oh, God.
Someone else pointed out that on the gay 80s cartoon episode, we had a glaring oversight and then we didn't talk about Shipwreck.
Mm, yeah, I wanted to talk about G.I. Joe, but it felt like a lot to dive into.
If there was a single episode of G.I. Joe, we could just do that on like an off-season episode.
I mean, I would sort of love to talk about the episode of G.I. Joe where Shipwreck gets the power to create things with his mind and like all these cartoon characters start running around attacking people.
What the fuck are you talking about?
There's an orphanage that burns down because I think it was G.I. Joe's fault because they're fighting Cobra and burned an orphanage down. And so they're helping to rebuild it. And Shipwreck doesn't want to do a lot of work. So he's just telling stories to these orphan children.
Okay.
And then some technology allows the figments of his imagination to come to life. I'll rewatch it and see if there's a lot of gay stuff in there.
I'm already here for it. Just in case people are not aware of who Shipwreck is, can you describe what he looks like?
Sort of like a Tom of Finland-y village people-esque pirate.
With a sailor hat?
With a sailor hat and a parrot.
I'm running away from home. My parents are mean. Where will you go? I'm not sure, but I'll show them.
That's right. You'll show them how mean you can be.
Shipwreck!
Isn't it better to try to solve problems instead of running away from them?
I could try talking to my parents again.
Yeah, tell them how you feel. And remember, running away
leads nowhere. Now I know. And knowing is half the battle. G.I. Joe!
Every time I tried to write his name, I kept writing Shore Leave, which I think is actually even a better name than Shipwreck. But that might be a Venture Brothers character. That might be the Venture Brothers version of Shipwreck.
That checks out.
In non-semen-related news, someone pointed out somewhere, and if you're this person, please tell me because I cannot find the message, but someone pointed out that he didn't quite agree with our take on Three's Company, where we said we liked Three's Company because they were making fun of Mr. Roper's homophobia, and Jack was like camping himself up to make him uncomfortable and like kind of poke fun at what a jerk he was being. This person, who was a bit older than us and watched it while it was actually on, said that he didn't like that and it made him really uncomfortable to see Jack imitating gay mannerisms because I assumed he was watching it with his family or something because he was young enough and he felt like he was being made fun of or he felt like Jack was creating the opportunity for straight people to laugh at gay people, which I can also see.
Yeah, maybe I didn't make that clear, but like that also gave me a panic attack a bit watching it. Like I had to watch my mannerisms and I still to this day like hate the whole Tinkerbell gesture. I think the point we're trying to make is that it was being played for laughs, but maybe the show excused it because
right.
It was the straight perspective of gay people
mm-hmm.
rather than the show embracing that's what gay people are like, since the show didn't actually show gay people.
Aside from that guy doing the butt right. dance with the scarf. I should have gifted that and put it on social media. The world
still can.
The world needs to know. You saw that I put the clip from Mary Tyler Moore?
I did.
Those are some nice shorts he's wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go to the Facebook page if you want to see the reference of young, sexy-er John Ritter in very short shorts on the Mary Tyler Moore show. Last thing, people have been asking about the music we play for outro, which is just whatever I feel like playing and just a little bit of it. I'm going to go back and put the track titles and a link to buy them on like one of the services. I was going to say iTunes, but that's not going to work in a little bit. So I'll put a link where you could stream or purchase the song in full. The one on the Wings episode, which people apparently had problems identifying, is a track from Final Fantasy VI, which might have been a joke that Glenn and I and one other person actually got. That is Gal's theme from Final Fantasy VI.
It's about daddy issues.
It's about serious daddy issues. And it's a beautiful song, if you don't mind me saying. Let's talk about Patreon.
Okay. Your dog is snoring. I don't want to wake him up.
No, he's fine. I guess we're maybe not being our usual exciting selves. So it's also nice and cool on the cement, I'm sure. We should just do a podcast from down on the floor.
Metaphorically, we are.
Mm-hmm. Did you know that we are 1/5 of the way to unlocking our bonus podcast?
I did not, because I don't really check it.
I don't think I gave you the login for it. When we set up our goals, the first goal is 500. When we hit 500 a month, we are going to do the bonus podcast for Patreon listeners only. And we're at $101 a month already, which
is a good number too.
What's that?
Like, it's a good number too for like Dalmatians.
That's mm-hmm. So we are that many Dalmatians in money. a month, which is much better than I thought we were going to be, to be honest. Like, never having done my own Patreon before, I didn't know how people would respond to it. But seeing like that much money in what amounts to like, what, a month?
Yeah.
About a month. Thank you for everyone who gave us money, even if it's just a dollar a month. We are very grateful, and it helps us do more than we're currently doing with this show, just because it's actually kind of a lot of work to put this show together, just between
recording.
I mean, research is dragging you in here is also a lot of fucking work. Yeah, that's true. I wonder if that's getting picked up. If you would like to give us a little bit of money, please go to patreon.com/gayestepisodeever. You can see all of our tiers.
And tears with a.
Both the kinds of tears. And if you are on the Mrs. Roper level, which is $10 a month, which some people are, which I think is very nice of them, you get to see exclusive monthly artwork by Glenn. Glenn, tell us about what you drew for the month of May.
Oh, I drew a picture of B. Arthur as Dorothy in one of her many layered flowing robes.
Weirdly that you brought up 101 Dalmatians, because I was looking at it today and there's like a slight Cruella de Vil like look to her clothes, like the way she's posed and her clothes. It reminded me of that. It made me think of what...
She's also wearing leopard print in the drawing.
She is. Imagine what 101 Dalmatians starring B. Arthur would have been like.
That's what I picture every night as I fall asleep.
So we've been giving personal thank yous to everyone who's given, was it $3 or more?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Everyone who's given $3 or more a month. And in addition to outright thank you, we're going to give them a random compliment from the box of compliments. And the first person up today is Garrett Sander.
Least likely to be the killer. And I will say that in court.
Thank you, Garrett Sander, for your money. Second is Kristen McGlory.
First of a celebrated legacy.
That's true. She actually just had a baby, so that's even more appropriate.
Ooh, I know. Watch out for that baby.
Hi, baby, Kristen. Stacy, no last name, but I think we know who that is.
Sends the most thoughtful cards around the holidays. Which holidays? I don't know.
Ryan Watt.
Observes others' personal space. That's probably true.
That's a really good one, actually.
Very important.
I don't think anyone who would give that much money to a podcast like ours would be like a in-your-face, like, grabby person. And last, Nell McCall.
Regal, but welcoming.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nell. There should be more people named Nell. I feel like that's one of those names that should come back.
Yeah. I mean, I can only think of famous Nells.
Nell Carter.
Mm-hmm. And also like Nell, Jodie Foster.
Yeah. I can't watch that movie without laughing. So that would be a terrible movie for us to ever review in podcast form. Also, it has nothing to do with TV.
Also, I don't want to.
I don't think it's that good. We're going to put a survey up about things you guys want out of this new bonus series. It will be on Patreon. So the Patreon people who are going to be the ones listening to it get to tell us what to do. If it's not up by the time this episode is up, it'll be up later that day. I just have to make the Google Doc. So I had a birthday recently, and one of the things I did for my birthday was tell people that if they give us a rate and review, I would donate $5 to... I would donate $5 to the LA LGBT Center in the memory of B. Arthur. And we got 18, which is pretty good. I noticed that we got a lot of star reviews, and I'm not really comfortable counting those because I'm like, oh, give us a rate and review. But it looks like a lot of people just gave us a star review and didn't write anything. Star reviews are also great, but like you guys didn't follow directions. So
maybe it was just a coincidence and people were just giving us star reviews.
Maybe that's true. Maybe they have good direction following abilities and that just, yeah. But I don't think that's true. And I'm just going to round it up to $100. So as if that's my way of balancing out.
You just didn't want to do the math.
No, I didn't. Yeah, you know who I am. So a very handsome man from New Zealand pointed out that he reviewed our podcast, but it went up on New Zealand iTunes, where there are far fewer reviews than there would be for ours. I don't really know if I can actually see that, but if you're posting a review and it's going on like your territory's iTunes, take a screenshot and send it to me, just because I would like to know what you said. And also I'll add it to the overall total. I'm going to quickly read bits of three of the reviews we've got. Mm-hmm. Daniel W. Carlson, who's a TV critic and a very good writer who I've followed on social media for quite a while, said, it's a funny, smart, sharp, warm, wonderful look at how TV and culture have shaped each other throughout the 20th century and what representation has meant in different eras. I tell everyone about this show. It's nice.
Everyone.
Michael's TV Tray, which is a blog about TV and food, that I fairly recently found existed. The person behind that website gave us a review as well, and he said, "It's a hoot to revisit these classic TV shows and gratifying to realize just how much the times have changed when it comes to the acceptance of LGBTQ people." Thank you, Michael's TV Tray. By the way, if you haven't listened to it already, I was just on my business partner's podcast, Smart Mouth, talking about TV dinners, which seems like it would be very much so up your alley. And also, if you're listening, possibly up yours as well. Just look up Smart Mouth on wherever you get your podcast, or just go to smartmouthpodcast.com. I should be not on the website yet, but I'll make sure Catherine gets that up real soon.
Guess you know how you rank in her esteem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Judy Dean, I think I know who this is as well, said, "Big fan of the show, especially the brilliant host. You take time to really dig deep in the crevices of each special episode. Even in episodes where they dissect unfamiliar to me shows, such as Wings, I don't feel lost or scared. How could I go wrong with such able guides? This is the podcast I look forward to the most. Keep up the good work, Drew and Glenn and Thurman."
Oh yeah, Thurman is working very hard right now.
Yeah. So thank you very much for your reviews.
Thank you.
Thank you for contributing to charitable donation that you didn't have to even pay for. Yay. Glenn, you have a bit of business in the form of a movie or something.
Yeah, or something. Being Frank opens in select theaters this weekend. That would be June 14th in LA, in New York. And then other cities beyond on the 21st and 28th, although what cities, I do not know yet. And if you're in LA and listening to this podcast the day it comes out, that would be Tuesday the 11th, you still have a chance to catch a sneak preview screening at the Landmark in the West Side Pavilion at 7:15 or 7:45. Although I think the 7:15 might be very close to sold out.
Yay, selling out.
Yay.
Yeah, but please go see Glenn's movie. You might hear a little bit more about the movie later this week.
Yeah, and there's also like three or four screenings in New York this weekend.
Yay.
Yeah. You can go to the film's website, beingfrankfilm.com, and it just has a very handy little thing for finding tickets near you.
And it stars Jim Gaffigan.
Oh, it stars Jim Gaffigan, directed by Miranda Bailey and written by Glenn Lakin.
Mm-hmm. Go see it, please. That's pretty much it. There's one more thing I want to end with, but I'm going to go through the regular rigmarole now that you can follow me on Twitter at Drew G. Mackey, M-A-C-K-I-E. Glenn, where can people follow you?
Oh, I'm at I Write Wrongs on Twitter. That is right with a W. And on Instagram, you can find me at Bros Quartz, B-R-O-S, Quartz.
You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Gayest Episode, and the website is gayestepisodeever.com. Subscribe to us literally anywhere you'd normally find a podcast. If you look for us somewhere and we're not there, tell me. I will put us there. This is a Table Cakes podcast. Table Cakes is a Los Angeles-based podcast network and features some really cool shows. If you want to learn about the others that we do, please go to tablecakes.com. The last thing, I found this very amusing. I was like very tired and a little drunk when I was reading this out loud last night, and it made me laugh, and it might sound really stupid right now, but this is how I'm choosing to end the episode. Do you remember the character of Angela on Mr. Belvedere?
Yeah.
She's Heather's dumb friend, blonde, airheaded friend. I was at a party once and people were talking, like I could overhear people talking about Mr. Belvedere, and they're like, "Did you know that was Lisa Kudrow?" And we were like, "Oh my gosh, yes." But if you tell people like, "Oh, do you realize that was where Lisa Kudrow's first TV role was?" People instantly believe it. They're like, "Oh my gosh, that totally was her."
No, it wasn't.
Just because she's like a tall blonde who's dumb, they associate her with Phoebe. It's a really weird, it's not the Mandela effect. It's something even dumber than that. But played by Michelle Matheson, character name was Angela Shostakovich, and her one thing other than being dumb as rocks is that she couldn't remember Mr. Belvedere's name, and I found a collection of all the mistaken names she gave him, which I'm going to read in a row, and if you, for some reason you just like skip forward to this, you'll be like, what the fuck is this?
Drew had a stroke.
Yeah. In order: Mr. Bellbottom, Mr. Bellpepper, Mr. Butterfinger, Mr. Butterworth, Mr. Beetlejuice, Mr. Bus Plunge, Mr. Bus Plunger, Mr. Bunnyhopper, Mr. Botulism, Mr. Bumper Car, Mr. Baby Boomer, Mr. Belly Dancer, Mr. Belly Flop, Mr. Belafonte, Mr. Brontosaurus, Mr. Bricklayer, Mr. Bilgewater, Mr. Bullwinkle, Mr. Belly Button, and Mr. Budweiser. I don't know why I find that so appealing. I just like that someone else took the time to collect them, and now I can share it with you. It was on a message board. Yeah.
That's lovely.
So there are people like
me. It's
like
poetry. It's like a haiku, but wrong.
What if I just submit that to a bunch of like literary journals and see if anyone picks it up?
I mean, McSweeney's, watch out.
Is that a small thing?
Yeah.
Oh, cute.
Wow, that was condescending.
No, I just haven't really thought about it in a long time.
They're doing good work, Drew.
I'm garbage people. On that note, This episode is over.
Bye forever.
Bye forever. Oh.
Cakes production.